Grace and peace to you from God our Father, from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's not too hard to tell when we have a visitor in our congregation that doesn't have a liturgical background. It's even more obvious at, say, a funeral or a wedding, when a large group of people attending are not used to using a liturgy. You can see it. I can see it from up here anyway. They'd have no idea where we are. They're not sure exactly what's going on. And they're just a little bit unnerved that throughout the service, we're constantly speaking, singing, and praying in unison, saying the same things at the very same time. You see, speaking in unison isn't something that our culture is very accustomed to anymore. Singing in unison, or especially in harmony, perhaps even less. There are a few of those things that we still do together, that we say in unison. The Pledge of Allegiance, at least where it is still spoken by a group of people. Maybe the singing of the national anthem could count too, but that depends on who's leading the singing and how many frills they've taken the liberty of adding as to whether anyone can sing with them or not. Sadly, today, it also depends if you're at an NFL game or not. The Lutheran Church used to be known as the singing church, but that isn't always the case anymore. Because we here have a good organist and some powerful voices, we are by no means poor at singing as a congregation. But neither are we like our grandparents, who could easily sing any of our hymns in four-part harmony. Like most things, singing well together takes practice and knowledge of the material that is being sung. So too, speaking well in unison. You have to know what you're going to say if you're going to be saying it with others. The same thing applies to making our confession of the Christian faith. Clear knowledge of the material, agreement in our speaking. St. Paul prays for the Roman Christians in the reading that you heard tonight from the book of Romans, saying to them, "May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." He uses the language of singing, of harmonizing, of speaking together and sounding like one voice. But he's not talking about some choir practice in Rome. He's talking about their confession, praying that they would be in agreement in doctrine for the glory of God through Jesus Christ. You don't need me to tell you that there is much unrest and much noise in our world. So many conflicting voices all trying to be heard over the roar of the crowd. But there's very little speaking in one voice. Very few, even in the church, who are saying the same thing. Our culture can't even agree that a baby is a unique life in the womb, or that the second X chromosome makes you a woman, whereas the Y one makes you a man. And if there's no agreement on these obvious things, then are we surprised at all that there's no agreement on what God says about sin and death? Law and gospel, life and salvation. And you can just forget about talking about things like closed communion, right? No one is in agreement with that, it seems. It's a very rare thing when people are in true concord, isn't it? There are so many different denominations and sects in this world that it's nearly impossible to keep straight what each and every one of them teaches and believes. And their beliefs and teachings seem to change each and every week. Many claim their teaching from the same source that we claim we are teaching from God's Word, the Holy Bible. But somehow they arrive at vastly different teachings, doctrines, and practices than we do. Differing doctrines lead to different practices because the practice always reflects the doctrine. And different practices by themselves will also become quickly different confessions. What we do confesses what we believe. What we confess to believe changes what we do. Of course, the world is quick to say to us, our interpretation is just as valid as yours. Our truth is no less good than yours. But the world's wrong. There's only one truth. There are many falsehoods, many corruptions of the truth, but there's only one truth. That means that we aren't all right. The dissenting voices, there must be something wrong. It means that not every interpretation of God's word is the correct one. That not all practices are in agreement with the word of God. Of course, this sounds a bit arrogant. And it's probably from a sermon like this one that someone who isn't listening very closely will walk away saying, those LCMS Lutherans, they think they're the only ones that are going to be in heaven. Fine. Let them hear what they want. That's not what we teach, is it? What they hear and believe about us and about the Word of God doesn't change at all that there is only one truth. And if we are confessing the one truth, then we must be confessing the same thing. And if we're confessing the same thing, then you guessed it, we should be speaking with one voice. Wherever God's word is found and his sacraments administered, there Christians are found, even in the Lutheran church. But when it comes to the specifics, things like absolution, infant baptism, the real presence of Jesus in his supper, it's as if many of the voices all of a sudden drop out of the choir. They don't agree with what's being said or taught, and so they can't say the same thing. That's sad. And the Christian church's inability to speak with one voice on these things leads the world to say back to us, look at yourselves, you can't even agree on what you believe from the Word of God. Why would we ever listen to you? And it's a valid critique that they have. It seems that most are unwilling to fight over doctrine these days. We must be tolerant of everyone else and whatever they believe. It's impossible to hear what God has clearly said, many of them confess. God meant that for those people then, but it's not for me now. But this issue, saying the same thing with the same voice, holding on to the clear doctrine of God's word, this fight is worth it. Indeed, it is necessary. St. Paul speaking again, saying now to the Corinthian congregations, he chastises them for their practice surrounding the Lord's Supper. He says, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you. And to some extent, I believe it. No doubt there have to be differences among you, to show which of you have God's approval. Don't misunderstand what Paul's saying here. He's not saying that the divisions among Christians are a good thing. He's simply acknowledging that God's word will always create division, that doctrinal differences are very real, and that our divisions are important issues to hash out together under God's word because there is only one truth. Those who have God's approval are those who speak with one voice exactly what the Word of God teaches. Those who do not speak what the Scriptures teach, well, they reject the truth. It is sad to hear the disharmony of confession, to see the many false teachers that can coexist along with the true teachers under the one banner of the Christian church on earth. It's sad that not everyone who bears the name Lutheran confesses the same thing. Clearly, the devil is at work to create division and to destroy concord wherever Christ has brought it about through his word and sacraments. One of our Advent hymns, the hymn of the day for the fourth Sunday in Advent, laments divisions in the church in this way. The fourth stanza reads, O come, desire of nations, bind in one the hearts of all mankind. Bid thou our sad division cease, and be thyself our King of Peace. What a beautiful and very fitting, heartfelt prayer. Much like St. Paul's prayer for the Romans, that God would bind all those who are in Christ to say the same thing with one voice, that we would have one King of Peace. And that's the only way this kind of thing ever happens. The only time in which we sinners are actually able to say the same thing with one voice. It is God's gift through his Son, the very Prince of Peace. We say the same thing when we speak back to God what he has spoken to us about our sin and need for a Savior. We speak the truth with one voice when we confess, Jesus Christ, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man. We speak with one voice. We speak the truth clearly when we confess our sins together, when we hear the words of absolution, when we make the sign of the cross at the baptismal font, remembering we were baptized into Christ's death and resurrection, when we say together the words of the prayer that our Lord has taught us, when we gather in his name at his table to eat and drink his body and blood for forgiveness, life, and salvation, believing, having faith in the promises that he has made. We speak with the same voice when we hear the benediction that God puts on us and when we add our amen, our yes, yes, it shall be so. We confess with our lips and say with our hearts the same thing with one voice, and this by God's doing alone. In this way, we glorify the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ through the power of his Holy Spirit. It's difficult in these days not to let the world creep in on your confession of the truth, not to want to waver and set it aside when you know your friends and relatives don't believe as you believe. But don't let the things of this world or a desire to be loved by the people of this world cause you to drop out of the choir and stop singing the good confession. Don't stop listening to what was written in former days, which was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Don't let any appearance of dwindling numbers keep you from hoping in Christ your Savior. For you know that the triune God never changes. His word never changes. He always says the same thing. I am your God and you are my people. I love you. I sent my Son to save you. Listen to him. You are saved by my grace through faith in my Son, Jesus Christ. His work for you is finished. You are forgiven. I have bought you back with his holy blood. You do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of my mouth. I have washed you clean. I have put my name on you. I will feed you and nourish you. I will protect you from the evil one who seeks to devour you. And at the right time, I will deliver you all together into the good land that I have promised. Together with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, you will sing, you will laud and glorify me. The Holy Spirit, working through the spoken and visible word of God, has united us together here to confess with one voice, to sing and to say in perfect unison and harmony that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He has convicted us through his word of our sins, and then he has assured us through the same word of God's love and mercy and forgiveness in Jesus Christ. And so our prayer is much like St. Paul's prayer. O Lord, continue your work in us. Unite our hearts to fear your name. Amen. And now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in his hope. Amen.
Hi, this is Pastor Ryan Wendt. You've just listened to a sermon preached at Christ the King Lutheran Church in Billings, Montana. I hope that you heard God's law that reveals your sin, and his precious gospel, the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, that your sins are forgiven for his sake. These sermons are posted not as a replacement for gathering together with other believers around Christ's word and sacraments, but for our members who are away at school, at work in foreign countries, or who for some other reason are not able to be with us regularly. If you've been listening and do not have a church home, please consider contacting us through our website, and I will be happy to help you find a faithful congregation and pastor near where you live. Or if you're listening to us locally, why don't we get together for a few minutes and talk more about what we believe? If you'd like to support the work the Lord is doing through His Word in this congregation and in our community, please get in touch with me through our website. The Lord's richest blessings to you this week and always in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.